Welcome to another edition of Slacker Astrology. Dang it, I messed up again.
I'm sorry, folks. The voodoo astrologers have been getting revenge on Travis for our Slacker Astrology skit a few weeks ago.
I think I'm better now. Let's try it again. Welcome to another edition of Slacker Astronomy. Each week, we bring you a recent news event in the world of astronomy. And if there's nothing new, we'll imagine that we're in a tropical paradise, on the beach, sipping Mai Tais and thinking of nothing. Absolutely nothing at all.
Wait, Aaron is doing that right now from a beach in the Philippines. Perhaps he is responsible for this wicked voodoo. While we slave away to keep Slacker Astronomy on the air, he is off vacationing. He definitely puts the slacker in Slacker Astronomy.
Well, he did leave us with some cool news about one of our nearest galactic neighbors, the Andromeda Galaxy.
Also known as M31, which is its Messier number. Amateur astronomers like to show off to each other by calling deep sky objects by their Messier numbers instead of their regular names. So remember Andromeda as M31, and you'll pass the secret handshake test at your next star party.
Astronomy is an amazing science, and galaxies are among the most amazing objects in astronomy. They are massive islands of material moving through the vastness of space. Every astronomical source we can see is either inside a galaxy or a galaxy itself.
Yes, there are stars and planets floating through space outside of galaxies, but we don't see them as amateur observers. When galaxies collide, they throw stuff out all over the place, like drunken frat boys at a 4th of July barbecue. But they are way too small to be seen from Earth against the vastness of space.
So we can see two types of objects from Earth, things in our galaxy and things in other galaxies.
The closest known galaxies to Earth are the Sagittarius Galaxy and the Large and Small Magellanic Clouds, but they are all tiny dwarf galaxies in the process of merging with our own Milky Way.
When we think of galaxies, we usually think of large white disks with spiral arms, pictures that look like Andromeda, which is the closest real galaxy to Earth.
It is about 3 million light years away, or about the distance between exit ramps on a West Texas highway.
You'd think something that far away would be difficult to see, but it isn't. Andromeda can actually be seen with your unaided eye. For many people in the Northern Hemisphere, Andromeda is the only object outside the Milky Way you can see without binoculars or a telescope.
If you are under pristine and dark skies, it will look like a tiny gray cloud in the constellation Andromeda.
Oh, I get it. It's named after the constellation it is in.
We astronomers are not known to be an especially creative folk.
As proven by this podcast.
Sad, but true. Its constellation copying name does help us find it, though. It is easy to get lost in the night sky.
The cloud will usually appear about the size of a full moon, but it could appear larger if your eyes are very good and the skies are very dark.
Take a pair of binoculars to it. It should be easy to find in binoculars of any size. You will be able to easily make out its oval shape, which will look slightly tilted.
You can do that from the city because it's bright enough that you don't need dark skies with the aid of binoculars. With a telescope in dark skies, you can even see some of the structure.
Just remember to resist the urge to peek into your neighbor's window. That will destroy your night vision.
Not to mention relations with your neighbors.
Andromeda is a lot like our own Milky Way galaxy. It is even similar in size, with some astronomers saying it is bigger and some saying it is smaller. Right now, it seems it may have a larger radius than our Milky Way, but our galaxy has more mass.
So when we study Andromeda, we're learning a lot about our neck of the woods as well. And just like our own galaxy, which is swallowing up smaller ones nearby, Andromeda is also feasting on some of its own smaller satellite galaxies.
Recent images of Andromeda taken with the Spitzer Space Telescope reveal the leftovers of past feasts. Spitzer is an infrared telescope orbiting the sun far from Earth. It is the state-of-the-art in infrared observatories and has captured new images of Andromeda at incredible resolution.
The newly revealed detail shows a hole in the disk, left over from when a satellite galaxy passed through it. We can also see that satellite galaxy with backyard telescopes, and it has its own name, M32. It looks like a small gray fuzzball just off to the side corner of Andromeda.
As M32 passed through the disk, it created waves that are still rippling outward from the point of impact. These waves spur intense star formation, and the young stars tend to produce more blue light than older stars, so they appear bluer.
As a result, star formation rings in a galaxy tend to look blue and white. We see these blue and white rings in Andromeda, and now with the Spitzer evidence, we can tie some of those rings to M32's recent collision.
So M32 slammed through the disk, sending out density waves that beget star formation, and then it passed through the disk, losing momentum in the process.
Now it will slow down, falling into orbit around Andromeda, preparing to make another pass through the disk in the future. With each pass, it will slow down and its orbit will get smaller. And, like a pendulum settling down, it will go back and forth through the disk until it settles down and becomes part of the Andromeda.
In the infrared, Spitzer is imaging heated dust in the galaxy. Much of this dust is relatively cool compared to the white-hot star formation rings. Spitzer is able to see older, cooler stars and dust that was left behind by M32 and other past collisions. By combining this information with our optical and ultraviolet images of Andromeda, astronomers are able to connect the dots and associated cause and effect.
For you couch potatoes out there, you can think of Spitzer as having found the smoking gun that solved the case.
Does that mean we have to end this episode standing around in an office waxing cynically about crime and punishment, holding self-important poses for the camera?
No way. We still have some more science to cover.
Hallelujah for podcasts!
And no commercial interruptions.
True, but what if you need a bathroom break?
Well, you just take the podcast with you.
Ew! I prefer not to think about us in 11,000 bathrooms.
Speaking of toilet TV, let's get back to Andromeda.
Kevin Sorbo is going to kill you.
Well then, I know Gene Roddenberry will thank me in heaven.
We have a confession to make. The reason we're doing this episode is not related to science at all. It has to do with a pretty picture.
You've been admiring my headshots again, huh?
No, this has to do with Andromeda.
Oh, admiring the hot computer hologram actress?
No. Back to the galaxy Andromeda, not the TV show.
Boring.
Not when you see this. Spitzer's image of Andromeda is amazing. It looks like a galaxy on fire.
It took more than a day of imaging for Spitzer to take this picture. Andromeda is so close and so large that it is bigger than Spitzer's field of view. So it had to take many pictures of different pieces of the galaxy, and then astronomers assembled them into a mosaic.
Humans cannot see infrared light, so for infrared pictures, scientists take the infrared data and transform it into a color humans can see. This is called false color mapping and is done by all astronomers working in wavelengths other than optical.
The Spitzer folks have used a palette of orange and reds for this image. Combined with the level of detail we see and the size of the object, this makes for a very dynamic and beautiful image.
And they are not cheating. For infrared images, it is considered standard to use those colors because reds are at the long end of the optical part of the spectrum.
On the flip side, blues are at the short end. So for shorter wavelength images, like in the ultraviolet, astronomers will use blue and white colors instead of red and orange.
This beautiful picture is not merely eye candy colored up by a publicist. Sure, the PR folks came up with a neat caption and cropped it well. But this is legit science presented in a legit way. It's just way cool.
Although it's funny how we associate a fiery palette like red and orange with cooler wavelengths.
Contrary-wise, the icy blues and whites are associated with hot wavelengths.
Such decisions would never pass a television studio's art department.
This is true. All you have to do is see some of the bizarre visuals they come up with in astronomy shows on the Discovery Channel. This weekend, I saw them do an animation of what would happen if a human stood on the surface of the Earth as it was being created.
That's indeed quite a stretch.
If anyone can tell me why someone needs to see that, let us know by posting a comment on the show notes of our site at slackerastronomy.org.
Also in the show notes, we have that magnificent photo from Spitzer, so check it out.
We also have a link to the new Spitzer Space Telescope podcast. They have an interview with a couple of scientists who helped create this picture. We highly recommend the podcast.
Thanks for listening to another episode of our podcast, Slacker Astronomy. Send feedback to info@slackerastronomy.org.
And don't forget to donate to our Katrina Astronomy Fund by clicking on the link on our homepage.
For our author Aaron and Pamela, I'm Travis. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Slacker Astronomy, a podcast for you, for fun, for the voices in our heads.